Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horek and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys, a MarTech agency based out of the Netherlands. Welcome, G-Man. G-Man from Achilles, based out of Singapore on the Marketing Technology Podcast. We're delighted to have you here.
Thanks. Pleasure meeting you.
Likewise. G-Man, you're the CEO of Achilles, a company based out of Singapore. Could you elaborate a little on your background and how you've come to be what you are today?
Thank you. I've been in the ad industry all my life since 1990. In my recent job earlier, I was the global account lead for PepsiCo, and also working on new initiatives on technology at WPP. And around that time, we were evaluating the relevance of distributed ledger technology in advertising and marketing. And lo and behold, the bug bit me, pun intended, and I chose to take it as a full-time opportunity to see what we can do with the application of this in our business. And I set up this company called Achilles 6 months back. Here I am talking to you.
Cool. I love that name, Achilles. Is it like Achilles heel?
It is very much so. There are two reasons to it. We are building our application on Zilliqa, which is our high-throughput blockchain platform. And Achilles is the reverse of Zilliqa in spelling.
Yep.
Not just that, Achilles is meant to solve the Achilles heel of the marketing industry, which is its fragmentation related challenges.
Yeah. Absolutely, it is. So we'll put the Achilles.com website, of course, in the show notes so people will be able to find what it is. But I have it in front of me here, your website, and it's the payoff is the value of marketing redefined. I think you're absolutely pointing at a very important matter here is the deluge of data. There's so much data around, and a lot of marketers struggle to show what the worth of marketing is, what marketing contributes to the bottom line. How can you help there? What does Achilles do exactly?
Yes. So I think for starters, 2019-2020 is an inflection point in the marketing industry when nearly 50% of advertising is now becoming digital. So there used to be a time when a marketer can have a digital plan and a traditional plan and get away with it. But it's not going to be the case in the future because it's going to be digital first and traditional later. So we are just reversing the sequence. And that has got huge implications for a marketer because more digital means more addressable audiences, and more addressable audiences means the need to deploy technologies a lot better at scale and at speed. And it comes with it a lot of challenges, and that is where we believe Achilles can play a very critical role.
Absolutely. So what we've seen from, for example, compliance point of view is that we have very tight rules here in Europe with GDPR. There is new rules, new regulation in California in place. All probably you have some regulation in place in Asia as well that I'm not so familiar with, but there probably is something in place there. So Achilles helps to put all that compliance into place. What's your experience in the market? Do a lot of companies already have this in place? Do they already take care of data compliance the way they should?
Okay, there are two parts to this question, Mark, and I want to put it across as two separate answers. One is at a fundamental level, the reality is that today there's going to be more data outside our own enterprises than ever before. I think we have to realize that the truth that none of the enterprises will own most of its own data sets as in the past. So we have to sort of get used to the fact of living in a decentralized world where more people will own data outside ourselves. Okay, so that's a bigger challenge we need to contend with. Secondly, whether it is GDPR or CCPA in California or PDPB in India or PDPA in Indonesia and similar such privacy regulations and guidelines, pretty much we can say that almost 80 to 90% of the world population is going to be governed by some guidelines or the other. Okay, and these guidelines specifically mention about two things. One is whenever a consumer's or an individual's data is being used, that person needs to be told that it's being used. And two, the person needs to give a consent for using that information or data. More importantly, it also specifically mentions that upon a question being asked, that the user of the data should provide what has been done with the data back to the owner. So there are three big components to it.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, whether in my earlier role in advertising and marketing in WPP, and in the last 6 months working with Achilles, digging deep into it, there are many ways companies are trying to solve the problem through anonymization or pseudonymization of information. But nobody really has the capability or the preparedness for the second question of when asked to provide what's been done with the data. And what, if I have to use a simpler word, we call it provenance.
Mm-hmm.
What's the provenance of what's being done with the data? I think, in my view, more than 90% of the current data processors and users will fail in its qualification, which is my biggest point to highlight here. And if you go back to my earlier comment about a decentralized database, which is a reality today, and the importance of provenance, lo and behold, it will automatically lead to a solution which can only be brought through a distributed ledger technology, because you need a DLT or a blockchain equivalent to provide provenance, which is untouched by any one central authority, because many people use the data in the process. So provenance is the most important reason why we believe Achilles can play a critical role in the usage of data and its merits to it.
Okay, so what you're explaining here is gonna change the landscape of ad technology dramatically, I guess, because to be honest, and what we've seen, look, for us as marketers and you as a ad tech and blockchain guy, you know what's happening behind the scenes. You know what happens to the data. But the typical user of a smartphone that installs an app, a free app, doesn't read any of the regulations or any of the terms and conditions that are coming with that free app. So they're sharing the data in order for programmatic advertisers to take their data and display data on a segmented way, of course. So, but things are about to change there. Google has already announced that they're gonna abandon third-party cookies.
Yeah.
Some other platforms like Apple, Safari have already done that. How do you think that's going to change the landscape? And how do you think, that's a second question, which I'll come to later as well, but how do you think ad selling or ad agencies or ad technologies need to react to that? But first of all, let's start with the first question.
Yeah. So I think the focus will shift towards better use of first-party data, for sure. Creating audience profiles using third-party cookies, which in any case was only 50% efficient so far, is now going to be less and less efficient. So literally half the money that's being spent on audience targeting using third-party cookie sets is now going to diminish significantly. On the back of Safari and Firefox announcing to 100% stop cookies as recent as yesterday or day before, literally 25% of the browsers are now going to be ineffective when it to use third-party cookies. And Chrome probably has another 18 months, by which time even those facilities is going to totally go away. The reality, therefore, is from a marketer's point of view, as always, the importance and the reliance of first-party data sets and striking mutually complementary first-party partnerships are very important. For example, let's say a food chain or a pizza brand makes a lot of sense to partner with the food delivery partner or a retail store. So there will be an emergence of a federation of mutually complementary and beneficial first-party owners who will come together to share their original first-party data, which is consented because you would have agreed the terms and conditions for compliance purposes. And that data sets will need to be used to create a unified profile for targeting purposes. That's the logical step to take. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that the current technology is not built for that. What I mean by that is today, I mean, our industry has an ad tech ecosystem, which is all about DSPs, SSPs, and the delivery of advertising to the consumer. And we have a MarTech ecosystem, which is all about customer data platforms. They store consumers' data and try to understand insights. The MarTech ecosystem and the ad tech ecosystem are not talking to each other. And that is where the biggest challenge today is, because clients have first-party data in their own databases, in their own servers, in their own premises, but they're not able to activate it. The companies who are activating it through technology do not have the connection to the first-party data sets. And that is where the biggest challenge is going to come today.
Okay, so just let us take it one step back, just because we have listeners from all kinds of categories and all kinds of marketers in our audience. We have not explained yet what exactly the difference between a first and a third party cookie is. Could you explain what the difference between those two are, just to make sure that everyone is on the same page here?
Right. So I would then urge the listener to put themselves in the shoes of a consumer, and when the user logs into a browser and searches for something, the browser records the behavior of the particular user in the browser, and that is considered as first party from a browser's point of view. And when you are visiting a particular website and the particular website records your behavior, that's considered first party information. But on the web page, if the consumer is clicking an ad or a banner, and the owner of the banner records your information, that's third-party cookies, because you are not intended originally to reach the advertising. You are clicking on a banner which is not to be designed in the primary objective. And if anybody who is going to record or track your behavior from the clicking of an advertisement or a banner on a web page, it is deemed and considered as third-party cookies, because you are giving your information to somebody else outside to whom you're supposed to give it. Okay. So first-party data sets are to whom you directly engage with. It is the website or the publisher owner, or to a particular entity to whom you have given your email address with consent. That's first-party.
Absolutely. So just and I think you've explained very well, and this also indicates why the matter of abandonment of third-party cookies is so important, because to be honest, all ads advertisers are using third-party cookies, or almost all of them are. When you're looking at the websites, we've done that as an agency and looked at the websites of the several ad tech vendors. They're all, let's say, cheering that this on their blogs. They're saying, hey, this is a great thing. We're ready for a third-party cookie abandonment. What I wouldn't have expected anything else, but what you're saying is, hey, the technology is not ready for this yet. Interesting point of view. So how do you think this third-party cookie will change? And first of all, I think Mark has a question here to you. Mark.
Yes, hi, G-Man. I was going through your LinkedIn profile before we were going to this this session, and one thing that struck me very interesting is that you mention that the era of value exchange is around the corner. Could you explain the listeners what you mean with the era of value exchange? I completely agree that value exchange is becoming more and more important, because that's all. You've got data, and before I give it to you, you have to give me something of value. But can you explain the era of value exchange? And after you've explained that, will the era of value exchange be boosted or slowed down by the current disruption of the corona crisis? Or is that just more a blimp and this doesn't have much effect on it?
Interesting. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for picking it up. It's one of my favorite questions to answer. So the reality is that we see this ecosystem as three entities: brands talking to the consumer through a platform. Okay. The platform can be anything from a web page or a publisher or a search engine or a social platform, or whether it is Spotify or Instagram or any walled gardens we are in. Today, the system is that when a brand spends money on a platform, they are expecting something in return. They're expecting to reach some consumers in the exchange of value being given. Okay. That's the value exchange between brand and the platform. At the same time, when a platform is engaging with the consumer, all that they want is for the consumers to keep coming back to the platform. If they don't come back to the platform, they don't have a user base. And if they don't have a good user base, they don't have market value for the platform. So what they exchange back to the consumer is good experience, which is done through using their own data to give them personalized recommendations or prescriptions or something in return for having the consumer sharing the data back to them. It could be the news feeds, or it could be the song requests, or it could be recommending a product to buy. But the exchange between the platform and the consumer is largely in the area of a recommendation engine or a personalization service. At the same time, there is a new emergence of brands talking to the consumers directly, either through rewards or through loyalty programs or discounts or promotions. So what's happening here is brands to platform is about reach, platforms to consumer is about recommendations, and consumers to brands is through rewards. These are three different currencies. Okay, reward, recommendation, and reach are not the same. They mean different things, but unfortunately or fortunately, our marketing ecosystem is connected between these three. Unless and until we find a proper value exchange platform where reach, rewards, and recommendations are valued in some form, we're going to have this asymmetry. And when I said it is around the corner, because when more than 50% of the money is going to be in digital, unless and until we solve this question of what's the true value exchange, we will never be able to solve the symmetry. Okay, that's the explanation of what I believe in today. If you look at it, even from the consumer's point of view, there is an emergence of the preference towards being rewarded for watching content. Today, the rewarded videos is a very big area of focus. In certain markets, consumers are paid to watch. A good example being Brave.com, a browser where the consumers are rewarded for watching content through basic attention token, or BATs as they call it, or in many other walled gardens, you can be rewarded for watching television commercials or content. So we're already moving towards a reward as an exchange of value for watching content. So this value economy is going to be a very interesting one going forward. To answer your second question about the impact of this during COVID, evidence indicates the last 2 weeks across the markets, wherever there is social distancing and working from home and related stuff, the time spent watching television and time spent watching streaming content is already showing a 10 to 15% increase depending upon markets and timelines. These consumers are now being rewarded with content at home. Some of them are providing free content just for ensuring that when this tide passes by, they will become the loyal consumers of the future. So there is a value exchange being rewarded today for even consumers working from home or living in home, with the hope that the user base remains sticky. So, but to answer your question, value exchange is going to be the future of marketing, where different types of values being exchanged between reach, recommendation, and rewards. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, definitely. Another thing that occurred to me is that what you're actually saying at this moment, the platforms are like a middleman, and but there are initiatives, and when the technology has become much more mature, do you think, or your impression is that there will be more direct connection with consumers, bypassing the platforms, so the whole advertising will be more direct? The reason why I was thinking about that, because I saw on the news, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that farmers cannot give their products, their vegetables and milk and so to restaurants and to pubs, etc. And now they have started initiatives, what they call short chains, where they go direct to consumers. And that is something that was already something that already existed, but now is really boosting. Can we compare us with something like that?
Oh, absolutely. I think there are, as we speak, there are more than 35 to 40 what we call as D2C brands. I think a good example is Unilever's Dollar Shave Club. And there are some similar brands where the brands directly reach the consumer and engage with them without an intermediary in between. And the single largest motivation for such such a choice of being going directly to the consumer is the first party data. Why would any brand would like to share their information about their own consumer via a platform? So almost all the big multinational companies today are on a race to have a race to own their own profiles of consumers without buying these data sets through an intermediary. Because the reason why they go to a platform is for the user base, for the profiles. So this is going to be an interesting, I would say, a game, for the want of a better word, about who owns identities, who owns consumer information. As long as anybody is able to hold on to the user base and keep the engagement of the consumer going, he or she will become the winner. It could be a brand, or it could be a platform, or a brand might just become a platform, so to speak. So I think that's the game right now. It's all about owning identities. If I own an identity, we control the ecosystem.
That explains it very well, Jim, and thanks for that. One final question that I would have, because it's a topic we could talk about for days probably, but question that we always ask on the Marketing Technology Podcast is to be very pragmatic. So people that are listening probably want to know what they should do as if they're an advertiser at the moment or they're an ad tech agency. What steps should they take now to be ready for this abandonance of third-party cookies? So how can they prepare for this value exchange that is coming?
First and foremost, assess the current technology stack an advertiser has today and try as much as possible to integrate or connect them. Even if it means that you're going to cover only 5 to 6% of your market share, better to start right now by integrating your existing DMP, CDP, DSP, SSP, whatever you have. Try as much as possible to see if this can be connected. It will have huge long-term benefits for the advertiser. Point two is, even if it is a small amount of profiles, try to own your own consumer data as much as possible so that you can start building engagements with the consumer so that you can attribute back to the sale. If these two things are done, you can build on the future developments on whether it is going to be the world beyond cookies or a smarter deployment of data for better consumer engagement. It's a small start, but it can be exponentially beneficial.
But a very important start, I would say. So people that are especially, well, Mark already referred to it earlier, they're everybody's talking about Corona COVID. It's also kind of distracting from stuff like this. But it is something you need to prepare for, and even if it's small steps. So, Jimin, thank you very much. It was a pleasure to have you on the Marketing Technology Podcast. We hope to have you back in future. And, well, thanks. Thank you very much. Of course, we're going to share your details, so your LinkedIn profile and the link to your website, achilles.com, on the show notes. So thank you very much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our channel. Also, if you would like to be a guest on the show, or if you know anyone that should be a guest to our show, drop me an email through e.crum@marketingguys.nl or take a look at the website marketingguys.com. Thanks for listening.